This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The National Park Service today has decided to issue a permit to right-wing group Patriot Prayer for a rally on Saturday in San Francisco's Crissy Field. Organizers call the San Francisco event a free speech rally, touting their right to peacefully rally for free speech. On their Facebook page, Patriot Prayer claims, quote, extremists are not welcome. There's a similar rally being held in Berkeley the following day. But these rallies come in the aftermath of the deadly Charlottesville, Virginia protests just 10 days ago. San Francisco supervisors, the mayor, and other officials have either expressed outrage or wanted the rally permit to be revoked. Bay Area groups are organizing to counter a rally. But what can happen legally? Where's the line when it comes to rallies that have the potential to turn violent? What does the First Amendment protect and what does it not? I talked with University of San Francisco constitutional law professor Julie Nice for some clarification on free speech.
The general rule, of course, is that speech is protected. That really means generally all speech should be protected, even if it's, shall we say, extremely unpopular speech. And while that's the case, that all speech is protected, there are some exceptions to that. The free speech protections do not protect incitement of violence.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say, neo-Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan or white supremacists were saying, generally, we are hoping to inspire our listeners to cause harm to racial minorities or any other particular group. Honestly, as long as they're only spouting their ideology of racism, it's protected speech.
Mm-hmm.
The tricky question for all of us is, when does that speech of hate cross the line to incitement of violence?
Right.
And that's really what we're dealing with here.
Mm.
The problem is that there are three requirements that have to be met before the courts will consider it incitement to violence. So the speakers have to intend to incite violence.
Mm-hmm.
The violence has to be imminent in the circumstances. And overall, the court has to view the circumstances as likely to produce such violence. So it's got to be intentional, imminent, and likely. All three of those have to be met. So that creates our problem here. Basically, free speech is protected only up until the point where violence is imminent. But by the time, of course, we get to that point, we're all in a new, you know, very scary territory, and thus our tensions today.
Can you tell me about the case of Brandenburg versus Ohio, and what did that say?
Yeah, Brandenburg versus Ohio is the very famous case that established the test that I'm describing, that while almost all political speech is protected, even if it's hateful, it is not protected when there is an incitement of violence. In the Brandenburg case, there were members of the Ku Klux Klan that announced they were going to hold a Klan rally out in the middle of, I believe, a cornfield somewhere in Ohio. And they invited the media to come and watch them burn a cross and spew their racist ideology in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of rural Ohio. They were prosecuted for what we all know is, you know, meant by a cross burning, which is supposed to instill terror in racial minorities in particular.
Right.
But the court ruled, and the United States Supreme Court ruled in Brandenburg versus Ohio, that there was no imminent violence that was likely in those circumstances. There were no particular victims immediately present. So even if they successfully inspired their audience, the KKK on that day, to become more racist and to be more activist in harming racial minorities, it was at that point simply what we call advocacy of unlawful behavior in the future. And that is still speech and still protected under Supreme Court precedent.
Mm. So people listening to this right now might be kind of shaking their heads and wondering, okay, if it is protected by free speech, what is it considered? What law does it break, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, certainly when someone trespasses onto property, for example, to burn a cross in an African-American family's yard, for example, or when someone actually threatens physical harm face to face of another person's body, and that's an assault under criminal law. There are many criminal laws which may apply to the conduct. Mm. As soon as you cross the line into conduct, you may be in violation of criminal law. But to stand on a soapbox in the middle of a public square and to spew white supremacist speech alone, just the speech alone, even if the speech is encouraging unlawful harm to others in the future, we protect the speech. Mm. And, you know, again, I can understand that we are really living through a time that's fraught with our feelings about the real fear, or may I say terror, you know, that this kind of speech evokes and causes. So we have to grapple with this. But up till now, this has been how our courts have dealt with it.
Can precedent be used to prevent a rally? Or if somebody says this same group 3 weeks ago held a rally and it went bad, there was a lot of violence, et cetera.
Right.
Can that legally, you know, is that grounds for some kind of prevention of future rallies by that group?
There are cases where the courts have made it fairly clear that the government may not deny permits to speak based on some history of disturbances or violence having erupted at similar rallies in the past. So the government has to take each permit request basically on its own terms, figuring out how to allow the speech, having sufficient law enforcement mechanisms in place. It's a duty of the government and law enforcement to control the crowd and prevent violence. And, you know, of course, that was one of the controversies in Charlottesville, whether there were sufficient protections in place. But that's the duty on the government and the police force. It's really not a duty of the speaker. So the takeaway here is that the First Amendment, as currently interpreted by the Supreme Court and our other federal courts, really protects the ideas, even if they're racist, and the speech, even if it's racist, even if it's advocating the overthrow of the government or harm to particular groups of people in the future. And the line remains that they protect that rally, they protect that speech all the way up until the speakers have somehow demonstrated intent to create imminent violence, and that violence is very likely in the immediate circumstances. Then the police can come in and try to stop the protest.